Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Is Callie on?
I don't think just yet.
Okay, cool. I just wasn't sure if we were having the same.
I think you were first to the punch.
Yeah. It gives me a few more minutes to run my dog. We have to chase our laser at lunchtime.
Oh.
She really loves it. She gets very sad if she doesn't get laser time.
You know, it's the small things. We need to amuse ourselves.
This is like the most ridiculous thing that Nick has ever come up with in his entire life, but she loves it. So she doesn't like to go on walks. So we just have literally a laser pointer that she chases around the house like she's a cat. No, honey, it died. It died. It died. Hey, have you loaded the last few episodes?
I am dreadfully behind. So
okay. I hadn't checked yet. So I was like, if I need to link them in my reviews. Lily, it's all done. That one died. No, because it died.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, Callista. Hello. Yay. Podcast time. Oh, my gosh, you guys.
This will be the last episode before the Tortured Poets Department
has Oh, my week. Gosh. I'm so excited.
Have heard so many things.
I'm so excited for the dragging of Joe.
There's a leak. Like somebody got all the tracks and they've been going around like DMing people and sharing it. So some people are like listening to leaks and other people are like, how dare you entertain leaks? And somebody, and I saw a post this morning, and the gal says, I was accidentally sent my pre-order 2 weeks ago, but I've been quiet about it. And they're like, this is my thoughts without getting too spoilery. I'm not going to share any lyrics or any of the music or anything. This is just my thoughts. And like, they kind of went through and it was like exactly what you want to hear without spoiling.
They're perfect. Yes,
it's on site, Joe. These songs are devastating. You are not ready. You know, like, oh my God. Yeah.
It's going
to
hurt.
Apparently there's a lot of, she wanted to get married and he didn't going on.
I knew it.
Yep, so did I.
I know. Me and Cal
the lady doth protest too much in midnights.
Yeah. You know? All of this bullshit of just call it what you want and I
Lavender Haze.
Lavender Haze. Girl wrote paper rings. That's a girl who wants to freaking put on a white dress, okay?
Even before Joe, like all her songs up until that point, there was always like, I would like to get married someday.
There's a ring in a song in like literally every song. And now everyone's like, Taylor doesn't care about labels. I'm like, fuck yeah, she does.
She cares very much.
She cares a lot.
She does. Lavender Haze is just she didn't want strangers like talking about it.
Well, and also like, because this happens to so many women, I feel like you meet a guy in your like mid-20s and you date him for like five to 10 years. And he steals, like, it feels like he stole your.
It's still, yeah.
Like stole your youth.
Your youth, and, your time.
Contrary to popular opinion, the eggs do dry up after a certain point. It is extremely difficult to get pregnant.
If you do want to have children, you probably need to like be mindful of it at the very least.
There is a clock. So the rage I would feel that if he refuses to marry me and steals my best, let's just call it breeding years. Like, yeah, I would write an entire album and trash the fuck out of him.
Heck yeah.
So I'm so ready for it.
I know.
Because I was always like, my thing with Joe is like, how long does it take to cough up a ring, dude? Like, I know I know we're on the indie circuit. Those don't pay well, but.
Oh, and apparently she does call him poor in this album.
Fantastic.
I'm like, that's on par, though. She was a good lover, too.
Fucking-tastic. I am just. Like, the rage I feel towards this man might be unparalleled. It might be more than the Gyllenhaal era.
Well, because Gyllenhaal's kind of like almost like a cartoon villain at this point. Like,
he is a cartoon villain. And like, Joe, I can't even get a that guy that's
putting himself forward as he's the nice guy. He's the one who saved mm-hmm. her. And mm-hmm. this is what he yep. fucking did. He wasted yep. 6 years.
6 years. And like, you think about John Mayer, like, yeah, total douchebag. But when you write a song, I knew you were trouble. Like, girlfriend, I mean, I know she was too young and
pretend to not be that.
Right. So, but with Joe, just what Callie said, he presented himself as the savior, nice, regular Joe. And he was evil.
Yeah, that's why it's on type for Joe.
Yeah, I'm so ready for it. I'm so excited. Okay, I watched episode 3. Oh, I met Stefan.
We saw.
You saw the pictures, but give us all the details.
So I took my nephew and his girlfriend, and I really didn't realize how deep she was into the Vampire Diaries.
Oh, you're like, oh.
Yeah, oh. I was like, I said to my nephew, I was like, wow, like, she's deep in the hole. He's like, yeah, like, I love the show, but she's like, Aunt Jen, she's like Arrow obsessed.
Oh, no. Like,
damn, Derek. He's like, I just can't talk about the show anymore. And I was like, this sounds familiar. You should tell her to start a blog. So they came back from, like, and she loves Paul. So they came back from meeting Paul and Ian. They did a duo. I got them a duo photograph. And, like, they were floating on air. It was the cutest thing ever. Like, she's like, I talked to Paul about coffee. I was like, what does Paul have to say about coffee? She's like, he said he drank a lot of it when I asked if he was tired and did he have a cup of coffee? She's like, yes. And then my nephew is really into their bourbon. So he was just like, I bought the bottle of bourbon. And Ian was like, fuck yeah. And he's like, we should crack it open. And Ian's like, fuck yeah, let's do some shots. So it was hilarious. So and like, my nephew is so funny. He's like, listen, I'm very hetero, but those are two of the most beautiful men I've ever seen in my life.
They are gorgeous.
So then I had a separate photo with my Paul. It was really sweet because there was a girl in front of me and she was losing her mind. She was like, I'm going to faint.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I can't do this. She kept asking the girls in front of her, does she look okay? And they're like, you look gorgeous. And she's like, I'm going to faint. I can't do this. So I just put my hand on her and I was just like, he's just a dude. He's just a guy. I was like, he's a ridiculously good-looking guy, but he's just a dude. Just relax. He's like, okay. And he's really shy. That's what I picked up on. So I didn't do, and they were like, you know how they're when they're moving you through the photo thing, like, it's like, okay, we don't have time to chat. So he just looked at me. He is really, I don't know what the camera light does to him, but like in person, his features are much darker. Like, he's got really dark brown hair. His eyes are really dark, even though they're green. And he just looked very, like Eastern European to me. And his face is carved out of stone. Like, the bone structure, you guys, the bone structure, ridiculous. Also, his head is big. It's much bigger. I don't know what it is about all these stars. When I meet them, I'm like, their heads are enormous. And they have these teeny tiny, like, unbelievably ripped bodies. So yeah, he's a little taller than me. I think he's like maybe like 5'10". So he just looked me right in the eye and he was like, hi, how are you? And he gave me like this little soft Stefan smile. And I just was like, yeah, you're everything I dreamed. And he puts his arm around me and he's like, I hope you have a really nice day. I was like, thanks, Paul. You're the best. And then we had him sign stuff. And I told him, so the girlfriend was at the table with the autographs. I was like, so I don't like when they bring the girlfriends and the wives. Just relax. He's signing pictures. So I was like, so Paul, I said, I watched for 8 seasons. He's like, okay. Like, he was literally like, where are we going with this?
Gosh.
And I was like,
it could go anyway.
And, I said, and he's signing my Stellina photo at this point. So he, you know, the jig is up. He knows what team I'm on. And I was like, and I just watched just to make sure Stefan was okay. And he just like looked up at me. I'm like, mm-hmm. And I was like, and then they killed you. He's like, this is correct. In the last episode. He's like, that's also true. I was like, so I said, I decided that taking my nephew here to meet you would be cheaper than therapy. And he just roared. So he thought that was hysterical. So it was cheaper than therapy. So yeah, it was really fun. Really strange though. Cause like, you know, when we were at Aero Cons and that kind of stuff, like if friends wanted to be with you in the line, like you didn't have to have an autograph ticket to be in the line. Like you could just kind of like,
correct. Paint.
And yeah. like they have selfies. You could do selfies for like,
$20
You could do it in a group, like super flexible. Okay, the Vampire Diaries cons, there's none of that. There's no selfies. If you want to put eyes on these two guys, you better have a ticket. I had to buy, so I did a duo photograph, and I only bought one autograph because I figured the two of them can go together. No, they need to each have a ticket in order to, and then they hide them behind black curtains. Like you cannot see them.
Really?
Yeah, you cannot see them. And like the photograph section is also a black curtain. Yeah. So if you, other than like, if you don't get an autograph, if you don't get a photo, you're not seeing them. Cause then they have their panel and that's it. So like they're under like this cloak of like, it was crazy.
I was like, curtain, I was wondering if it was like a post COVID thing, but that's just money grabbing.
They want your check. They want money. So I was like, damn, I was feeling pretty lucky about our conventions. Cause I was like, yeah, it wasn't working that way. The
ours were new.
I haven't been to one in a long time. So maybe that's changed, but like, this was so small because it was just the Vampire Diaries. So we saw Daniel Gillies. He played Elijah.
Oh,
and yeah.
He made a girl cry. Like, not happy tears. He really embarrassed her. So he was punchy. Like, I was kind of prepared for him because he's, like, supposedly, like, kind of sarcastic. Everyone's like, oh, Gillies is so funny. So, like, he is deeply unhappy with the originals. He was like, you know, I was away from my children. I was giving everything I had to a show that gave me nothing. We were like,
fair.
Okay. I was like, yeah. And so this girl gets up and she's like, so, and I, you know, I would have told her like, you got to phrase this differently. Cause you know, actors and the craft and the process. So she was like, why does Elijah, whenever he walks into a room, have like a wide stance? And she like kind of like imitated it. And I couldn't tell if she was being funny, if she was serious, but like Daniel took it very seriously and was like, he's a 1,000-year-old vampire. He knows this. He knows that. He knows this. You know, he's not going to walk into a room like a Gen Zer. And then he was just like, at the very end, he's like, so you can kindly fuck off. And like everyone laughed, but she was just like shocked. And I was like, so Daniel, your sarcastic voice sounds exactly the same as your normal voice. And she, like, they said that she was crying in the bathroom. And then later on, he was like, oh, is Madison here? Is Madison here? And because he was like, I was really just kidding. And we were like, And then the girl who played Freya, she was wonderful. She was lovely. And then the other one that we met or that was there for the panels, Matt Davis was there. I know some people don't like him, but he was pretty funny. And then we also got a panel with Tyler. He was pretty low-key. The guy who played, what is his name? Enzo. Like, was trying to act like Johnny Depp. He was, like, he was kind of the worst. We were not impressed with him. we were like, no. So, but yeah, that's it. That's my Vampire Diaries. It was a very small, like, they were at a hotel. So there was like no, like I was really excited. I was like, oh, we're going to go be able to go shopping at different vendors. No, there was none of that. And Ian has like a lock down on all of the like merchandise. So his brother and sister-in-law run the merchandise table. So we were just talking with this lady about stuff. And I, And I was picked up something that said Damon. I'm like, oh, we're putting that down. And he was like, oh, he's my brother-in-law. And I was like, I'm still not going to buy it. Like, and she was lovely, but yeah, she runs all the merch at these conventions, and it's basically like anything you could
solid possibly gig for them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's possibly anything that you could possibly imagine made in China, like crap. It's just crap. So I'm like, no,
it's Red Bull. Like, it's yeah.
Ian's out there doing the most, and that's what I did appreciate about them, because I didn't meet him. I've met him, and you know, I was gonna give him more money. So my niece is like, you have to be a Damon fan to hand him another. He wanted $150, I think, for an autograph. I was like, no. So I sent my niece and my nephew, and his line was taking a really long time, but I told them, I was like, that's because he visits with people. I said, he does take his time. Granted, you're talking about his favorite topic, which is him, but I was like, he'll talk about himself with you as much as you want. So they were really happy with him and like how much he visited, and he was really, really nice. And he went on an epic Damon rant, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life, about how basically Damon and Elena suck. She should have ended up with Stefan. The fans forgave Damon everything, even though he was psycho and murdered half the cast. I was like, and I'm like sitting there and like, I'm surrounded by Delana fans. Okay. I'm surrounded by them. And like, we're vocal. I'm very vocal. So I was like, God dang, is everybody here Delana? They're like, yeah, you're surrounded by us. So I was literally just the only one going, woo! That's great. They weren't pleased with him, but I was thrilled. So, and then Paul just kind of sits there at panels. He doesn't say much. And then he just makes fun of Ian. So
I do roll my eyes a little bit, because he really didn't get that stance until he broke up with Nina.
Oh, 100%. And then it was totally when he got with Nikki. And then the fans like went after Nikki. So now he's all crabby with Delana fans, and he shits on the ship. So that's fine. I don't care what his motivations are. I'm just glad he said it, because it's true.
I really feel.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. But no, it was really fun.
Yeah.
But I'm done. That's going to be, I think that's my last con. My nephew was like, so how many, like, Arrow
ones? Nephew's girlfriend, is she, what ship side of is she on?
You know what? She did not say a single word. She's very young. Very young. I mean, like, Paul looks amazing, but like, Paul is my age. Paul is like 41 or 42. And that girl couldn't have been more than 21 years old. I was like, and she's just like, she's a model. So like, there's
no,
like,
she's like a girlfriend. Like,
oh, sorry, who?
Like, I was saying, your nephew's, because it's the nephew and the girlfriend that were
right
with the trip. That what. Is she Stelena or Delana?
Oh, she's Stelena. She's Stelena, but she doesn't mind Delana. Like, I'm the only one that has an intense and fiery hatred of that ship. Although my nephew's pretty Stelena too.
I'm gonna be a fan of that show though.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, she was kind of like, oh, well, Stefan kills people too. I was like, listen, we're not getting into a morality debate on this show. Everybody's terrible. But I said, he's only really bad when his humanity's off. And she's like, oh, that's true. And I was like, and Damon was pretty in a gray area with the humanity for several seasons. So there you go. But yeah, no, it was really fun. They were really excited. So my nephew was like, oh, how many Arrow conventions have you been to? And I'm like, we don't need to
get into that. We don't need to talk about that.
I was like, I'll tell you when my last one was. He was like, oh, okay. I was like, I went up to say hi to like go talk to David Ramsey, because he's the best. And David was like, Jen! And I was like, oh my God, he knows who I am. I have to stop going to these. And I literally came home. And I told Nick, that's the last one. I was like, David Ramsey remembered who I was. That is proof that you have been there way too much.
So, you are too much.
And I need to be done. My nephew was like, that's kind of hilarious that you were like, oh, that's like, most people would be like really excited about that he knew who you were. And I was like, no, I was not excited.
No, because
how much money have I handed this man in order for him to remember my name? This is so green thought.
Who would be excited by that? And then we could call, oh, we don't want to go there.
That was my nephew's point was like, no, that would probably encourage people to come more because like he remembered them. I was like, no, I had the opposite effect on me. I was like, I was very embarrassed. I have to stop going.
You're like, we're done.
I'm done. And that was my last time. So yeah. So now I've met two of my TV boyfriends, David Boreanaz. I'm on the lookout, but I'm also okay if I don't meet him. So
he doesn't really do cons, does he? Or
he doesn't. He doesn't do any of that shit because he's making money. He's had a nice little TV career. So, and Ian's done. Ian's not doing movies. He was cute about it. He was like, I'm making bourbon. I'm making vitamin drinks and I'm making babies. It was cute. And we're like, well, he seems very happy. I know people like shit on the whole Nikki thing, but Ian seemed pretty happy.
Yeah.
I don't know about Paul.
There was the interview where he's all joking, like, where, like, he talked about, not really in like a sarcastic way, but just like, oh, isn't this cute thing, is when I was ready to like have babies, is I started like popping out some of her like birth control pills. And you're like,
also not very problematic. Like, what?
Okay, yeah. If they're happy now, then
be. Listen, my only opinion on the two of them is there is one who's aging much better than the other, and it would be Paul.
Indeed.
Paul looks really good.
Thus, who is on Star Trek?
Yeah. So my nephew's girlfriend, she has to be so nice when they're married and I can just call her my niece. So my niece, we'll just call her my niece. Who cares? She was like, they had auctions and they were auctioning off these massive canvas size photos of them, like the size of walls. And she put her hand, it was like, oh, can we, there's a huge Paul, and she puts her hands up for $50. And I look at her, I'm like, are you crazy? She's like, I think I have a spot for that. I was like, and then she put it up again for $100. And I was like, you are a broke ass college student. You can't afford any of this shit. That's why I brought you here. She's like, it'll be okay. I don't think it's going to go over 100. It did not go over 100. But Derek and I were giving her crap all weekend, except she got a hell of a steal because all of the other ones went for like $250, $300.
That's intense.
Yeah, like, would you want a wall-sized photo of Ian Somerhalder in your house, canvas, for $300? Like, this is like not a situation where you can like casually hang this. It's massive. I'm like, listen, I love Stefan as much as the next girl, but I don't need that size of Paul Wesley's face. In fact, Tyler, the guy who plays Tyler, signed one of them saying, good luck finding a spot for this. It was enormous. Okay, that's enough about Vampire Diaries. All right, Arrow, what are we talking about? Episode 4?
4. I like a cute little moment where she, like, wipes the blood off his cheek.
There's, like, so many cute little moments of Oliver and Felicity. Like, some of them are serious, but a lot of them are cute. This is, like, the Oliver wants to immediately have sex with her and it doesn't matter that Diggle's in the room look. Like, when she says, you know, I've got your weapons. She calls him Mr. Queen. And I was, and then Steven gives her this look like, I'm going to jump you right now. It was like the sexual flirt eye sex is like, it was a lot. It was a lot. And then, yeah, she blood off his cheek. Any physical contact in season 2 is a big deal.
I remember when the production bill of that one, like, released like a week ahead of time and Tumblr was freaking out.
And people were freaking because she was touching his face.
Yes.
I would have freaked out too. Because, like, they don't touch. They really don't touch. Like, now that I'm, like, watching for it, I notice how little he touches her.
It's in the same way in season 1. We were like, we got a shoulder touch. But now
I know.
Like, we've upgraded to cheek.
That was, like, a sex scene for us. A shoulder touch is, like, a sex scene.
We were so thirsty back then.
Oh, my God. We just lived for anything. Anything they would give us.
Well, we were going to be fed fairly soon.
See, we didn't know. We just didn't know at this stage, you guys. We just didn't know. What are they doing? Okay, so then they had Lance drama again. Cal's right. Season 2 is a lot about the Lance drama.
Mm-hmm.
a lot. I was like, oh, we really do.
Everybody always acts like season two was perfect, but like there was an awful lot of Lance shit in season
two. There's a lot. I was like, okay, so now we can stop pretending that we don't know Sarah's alive. Like,
yay.
It's so annoying in the reviews because I'm like, how much do I spoil? So I've been pretending like, who's this blonde woman? Even though I know it's Sarah. It's Sarah. Yeah. I don't know. I really feel like I got my emotional like purging of the Sarah situation when I wrote my 301 review. So like, I'm just kind of like, I'm very like, yeah, she's back.
Big deal.
Cool beans. My thing was, okay, here's my thing. This is where I got worried as an Elizabeth fan. When Sarah was alive, I was like, no, they're trying to undo the Sarah thing so Oliver and Laurel can be together. I was really worried about that.
That's funny.
I saw no other reason to bring back Sarah than to try to like undo like the fact that he killed her sister and that's the reason they can't be together.
I mean, if they wanted to do Laurel and Oliver, that absolutely would have been the case.
I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly. So that stressed me out to the max because I was like, oh, nope, we're not done. And there's a lot of, like, Oliver talking to Laurel this episode because she's turning into a booze hound and kicking back the pills. So I will say I really like, I mean, obviously Emily's wardrobe has significantly improved, but Katie Cassidy's wardrobe in season two is, like, really nice. She looks good. Her hair is also on point. Yeah. So what else happened?
Block episode for sure.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it's important from like a, but Oliver has, this is a problem for Oliver because he told everybody that she's dead.
Now she's not dead.
And now she's not dead. So I do like that Diggle and Felicity did not let him off the hook on this one very much. They were like, listen, you told us she was dead several times. I love that Felicity also says to him,
tell things to. Like,
huh?
And like, we're the people you tell things to. Like, we get that you hide stuff from your mom or your little sister, but like, you tell us shit.
I feel like Felicity was particularly frustrated because she was like, oh, you mean the girl, the sister, Laurel's sister, who you were also dating at the same time, but we never talk about that? Like, I'm noticing a lot more pointed comments from Felicity that I feel like maybe I missed earlier on. So, and then Diggle was just like, what the fuck, man? So yeah, and Oliver was just like, it's that great, you know, this is 5 years where nothing good happened. Then you're like, aw, sad panda. So, I don't know, Mr. Oliver. I don't think it was right that he was like, I was sure she was dead. So now Sarah has shown up in the flashbacks. And the first question she asked Oliver is, where's Slade? So obviously things are happening and things are coming down the road with Slade. So, and notice she did not ask about Shadow. She only asked where Slade. So they both thought they were dead. The earthquake like got Sarah aware that Oliver was alive. And then she also wanted to make sure that her sister was okay. So she's just following her sister around and she's clearly not okay. Cause she just got arrested for, she almost got arrested for drunk driving.
Yeah, she's not doing too hot.
Nope, it's not doing well. And like that cute DA took her out to dinner and was like trying to hit on her. It was nice. I was like, why couldn't we have given him a twirl? There's nothing wrong there. So, and then, oh, the Mayor Blood guy is really a bad guy. Which,
shocker.
Shocker. I just am like, why did I ever think on this show that a man in opposition to Oliver, presented as a good guy, could ever really be a good guy? It's not possible.
It's true. I love, right now there was a reel or TikTok or whatever that came out this past week because Joshua Segarra is on Abbott Elementary right now.
Yes, I've been watching that.
And his character, like, is kind of in a, like, too good to be true, so kind of a little
suspect. I'm waiting for him to be a bad guy. I really am.
There's a person on a rant that is like, the Arrowverse taught me that man is Adrian Chase. Like,
I mean, you think so?
Not true.
Each time I'm like, because I really didn't remember that Blood was a bad guy. So I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He wears a weird mask. Got it. So I feel like there's like way more like comic book stuff.
Don't really register, but then you're like, oh yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, that's right. Now I remember. Got it. So yeah, I don't know about Oliver's whole they're just better off not knowing.
It's dumb. It was never not dumb.
I'm like, I feel like that they probably really do need to know, but whatever. I also, like, immediately thought of Katie Cassidy and how pissed off she was that they brought in a new actress to play, essentially, Black Canary.
Yep.
Like, she must have been rageful.
I was going to say, to be a fly on the wall for that.
On those meetings, you know? Like, I wonder how that went down. How did that go? I have questions. Go ahead, Maddie.
Which also then puts into light is this following summer after season two doing the, like, all us girls are just friends and the, like, that Comic-Con where they had, like, Katie, and Emily hanging out all the time. You're just like,
that was season four, and they had Emily and Katie, like, do a bunch of pap shots, like, look, we're friends. Remember? Like,
no, I remember that.
And we were like, what the fuck is going on? And that was what, that fueled my Laurel is dead theory, because I was like, they're trying to get her good press, and like, look, they're friends, and everything's great, and
sure, and we're like, oh, she's dead.
She's dead. Just trying to get her to leave quietly.
It would appear so.
I like when they treat us like we're stupid. That's so fun.
Like, we know the fuck.
Yeah, so Diggle and Felicity are ticked off. They're like, and Diggle is like, so do you want to explain to us how she's alive? Like, on the island. Like, when did she make it back to the island? Like, what happened on the island while she was back? Like, why did you also still think she was dead? Like, Diggle's asking some very, like, obviously
cursory questions.
Yes, like, these would just be natural questions one would have. And Oliver just says, not now, Diggle. And Diggle's like, okay.
Yes, well, now, Diggle.
Like, could you point out a timeline when you're going to start telling us the truth? Like, that would be cool. So, I really did enjoy that Diggle and Felicity were pissed off. And they were like, you can see Felicity go from anger to empathy really quickly when Oliver said, you know, these were 5 years where nothing good happened. Like,
I'm like, well, when you put it like that.
She's like, cupcake. You're sad. Sad panda.
Bless his little pumpkin button.
She let him off the hook immediately. Diggle was more like, this is fucking messed up, man. Like, what the hell? So, now the question is, how invested are we in, like, Sarah becoming, is essentially now a superhero? How'd that happen? Huh? But yeah, Cal was right. It's a lot about the Lance family. And then Lance was coming to Oliver to have Oliver talk to Laurel. And then Oliver tried to talk to Laurel. And Laurel was like, I'm fine. Give me another glass of wine. Those are like some of the biggest glasses. I haven't seen glasses of wine that big since Scandal. Like, seriously.
I was about to say, someone call Shonda Rhimes.
Oh my gosh. It was like a saucer of wine that she's like downing. What is in there? Is it
the girl had some trauma that she was not working through?
Like, do you feel maybe they're trying to like hint at an alcoholism storyline with her? Do you think maybe that's what they
maybe
were pointing
I think
at?
Maybe that might be what they're hedging around. Yeah,
I don't know. It's hard
I
to
feel
tell.
Like maybe yeah. I could, feel like yeah that's it's a possibility. We'll have to keep watching and see.
Also, where did Laurel get the prescription pills? What did she need prescription pills for? Building didn't fall on her. That was
don't
funny.
Ask questions.
I know. Okay. It's a very special episode of Arrow.
Like, where'd the narcotics come from, prosecutor?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. We're not going to talk about that? Okay.
Nope.
Got it. I forgot.
God, how Jen, awkward. Stop noticing the details.
Stop noticing things? Okay.
How dare you?
Because, like, we didn't see her, like, buy it in the Glades that had her name on it. And I'm like, when did you get narcotics? Like, they just don't hand those out.
She stole them. She broke into a pharmacy after hours. And
she must have.
Yeah, I don't
She's
know.
So fucked up.
Speaking of TV shows, though, that I'm watching before we, like, you know, yeah. I'm done. Has anybody else been watching Fallout?
I started it.
It's wild.
Yeah, I think we're on episode 3. I started it with my niece and nephew because they were really excited because they played the game.
We watched. So I have not played the game. I know zero. And
it's crazy. It's kind
it's
of like
crazy. We finished it like the other day. Like got to the end, and I'm like, oh, there's gonna have to be some more because.
Okay.
I'm not
like,
done.
Yeah, I was like, It's kind of like. What is the one? It's not Game of Thrones. What's the other one that we really like where it's the girl and the guy and it's the little girl and
Last of Us.
It's kind of like Last of Us, but it's like a more fantasy version of Last of Us because they have like that guy who's really dead, but he's not dead. Like that was weird.
There is when it gets to the end of the season, there were so many little twists. I was like, my jaw was like hanging open. I look over. Kyle's got the same look on his face.
Okay, that encourages me because I was getting a little bored.
We were like, what?
I was like, what is going on? And like Nick gets so annoyed with me because he's like, well, if you just paid attention and weren't on your laptop, I was like, well, I get bored.
I get bored too, and I'm on my laptop, and I was able to pick up enough that when it got to the end of the season, I was like, okay, whoa. Wait a minute. Yeah. Maybe I need to start paying even more attention.
Okay. That is fine. Then we can go back. Because I was a little bit like I loved the people from that were like still living in the 1950s under the bunker. I was like,
did
that's
you know,
amazing.
This is what baked my little noodle. Is when I found out it wasn't the 50s that it like
right,
started out.
But
in.
it was like
2077.
Yeah, like, I've had that thought before though. Because like you know how like the 90s are back? And like you know when we were growing up, it was like the clothes were all like kind of borrowing from the
this
60s.
This is not encouraging
70s.
To me.
Okay, like when does the 50s come back?
Well, maybe that's what Make America Great Again is about, Jen.
I don't know, but I'm like where like when do the 50s circle around? We haven't circled back to the 50s.
It was explained to me that
so it answered that question. It has to happen at 2077. That's when the 50s will come back.
They said, somebody said that it's like an alternate history. Like certain things that happened for us didn't happen for them. Like they didn't discover or invent a certain thing that made like our technology look the way our technology does.
Oh, interesting.
And they were relied more on like nuclear power, which is why nuclear was like a bigger deal,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
And that, like, they didn't have the same inventions that we had.
Well, listen, we had just gotten done watching Oppenheimer, so.
So you're like,
We're like, oh, that's not good. The mushroom clouds are not a good sign. This is not good. No mushroom clouds for you. So sorry.
Yeah.
I've actually been on, like, a Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Oh, God, I love that show.
Because it's on Prime. You can watch all the episodes on Prime.
Are they all on Prime?
They're all on Prime. You have to.
Oh, I'm going to watch that right now.
You have to put up with like occasional commercials, but it's worth it just to see Sully again.
I'm gonna have to go watch that.
Like, I completely forgot like how Sex on the Stick that man is, and how frigid Dr. Quinn was.
Oh man, she was so repressed.
She was so repressed.
It was
like,
so
girl,
hilarious.
Girl, like, what are you doing? Like, and Sully's like, do we have to talk all the time? Because, like, maybe you're pretty good at kissing. Could we do that? I'm like, girl, shut up. Stop talking about books with Sully. He has other purposes in your life. So, like, now I'm on, like, they're married. And she's like, oh, yeah,
oh, God,
this is great. Well, I skipped around. I'm not going to sit through the whole, like, I skipped around. So I was like, I just want to see all the good Sully episodes because he's delish.
Listen, so, the one with the sweethearts dance, like, early on.
That like, one's good.
My friends and I, we watched that, like, over and over and over
the one,
again.
I think my personal fave is the one on the train.
Yes, the one on the train.
That he loves her. And yes. I'm just like, take her down, Sully. I'm like, just do it on the train. You don't have to wait.
Well, they did do it on a train.
They did do it on a train, but should have done it right there. I was like, do it right now.
Eventually. Maybe that's like, why.
Why did you come here?
For their honeymoon.
He was so pissy. He's like, what? She's like, why did you come here? Why? And he's like, because I love you. And then, like, they, like.
She's like, he followed you to Boston. Of course like, he girl, loves you.
She was so stupid that episode. It's like, why is Sully here? Well, you've been gone for a month, and homeboy's like, when are you coming home? That's but literally all he ever said fire. To her was like, when are you coming home?
Her outfits were fire, though.
Her outfits were fantastic. And then they made him clean up and put Sully in a suit. Because he oh was like, God. There was that other doctor guy. And the other doctor guy was like in a suit. And Sully's like, fuck you. I can be in a suit too. And he looked amazing in the suit too. And Dr. Quinn was like, wow, you're also hot in suits. So you're the perfect man.
So everybody else is just, you know, fucked.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah. And I forgot like how like they argued so much. I didn't really remember that they argue all the time.
Oh, man. That was the best part. What was it that Hank said? Something in Courtney and Sparkin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My friends
I
and
like
I
when
used
they
to
get back from the honeymoon and Hank's like, so, how was it?
Like, Hank, you little fucking gossip.
I know. Hank was like, Hank wanted all the tea. Like, he hung back. He waited till Sully was last. And he's like, so, how was the train?
Honestly, low-key Hank was one of my favorite characters.
Low-key Hank's the best. I love low-key Hank. Like, he is just so awesome. So yeah, I'm like on a full like Sully binge right now where I'm just like, the man doesn't have a hatchet and is half dressed all the time, I'm not interested.
Yeah, seriously.
I think it's because I'm like going through like Bridgerton withdrawal. Like I can't really, I don't want to like, okay, can I rewatch season one and season two? Yeah, but I'm really in the I need new content.
You're going to get some.
We're almost there.
Yeah. It's so coming. I was like, I think I'm going through like a regressive, like I need like old timey hot dudes. So fair. Watching Sully.
Fair.
Sully is literally top five of old timey hot dudes. So.
Fair, fair.
I kind of forgot about his dead wife. I was like, oh yeah, that was a thing.
And his dead child.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Oh, and then they just killed Matthew's fiance. I was like, wow, this show is fucking brutal.
The rabies, yes.
She's freaking rabies. I was
they
like,
put her down like Old Yeller.
I know. I was like, I can't believe my mom let me watch these shows when I was younger. Like, fucking traumatic. I was like, I watched Dallas. So I watched Pam burn to death, like, at six. And they're killing off fiancés with uncurable diseases. I guarantee you I asked her, oh, can we cure rabies today? And she probably was like, no, you die. I'm like, okay. You're like, oh, it's just Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. It doesn't actually mean anything. Like, she doesn't science real science. Turns out she does. So don't get the rabies. And then like, they make it Brian's fault. I'm like, yeah, let's make it the little brother's fault. Because Ingrid is a dumbass and is like, oh, the wolf. Because apparently, like, they don't have dogs. They have wolves. Actual wolves. Domesticated. That Brian calls Pup. And Pup knocks over his water. But Pup's been bitten by a raccoon. Which in old-timey shows is always the kiss of death. Like, you are not going to survive. So, like, girl. She walks in there and she's, like, refilling the water. And then Pup, like, rabies out. He's, keep in mind, Pup was perfectly fine. Before she came into the pen. And then she came in the pen and he was like rabies psychotic. Like on a dime. It's like, wow, aren't they always kind of pissed off? Isn't that like kind of the point of rabies?
Honestly, the shit that we talk about our shows, this was my friends and I in high school with Dr. Quinn. And we hated Matthew's fiance. We hated her because she was
Ingrid?
No, she was so fucking stupid.
She was really stupid. First,
we could not stand her. We
like, he told her, don't go to the bank and borrow money.
Yep,
like,
she did.
He literally tells her, don't borrow any money.
She's the dumbest.
She walks into the fucking bank and borrows a huge loan. And then Matthew's like, well, here's your money back. And the guy's like, well, you have interest. And he's like, well, it can't be that much. She just got the freaking loan like 2 days ago. And it's like some ridiculous sum of money that now Matthew has to pay back.
Honestly, Matthew was well shut of her.
Yeah, so I read up on it. So they said that that they killed her off because the actor was kind of a heartthrob. And now that Dr. Quinn and Sully were married, they needed to like have like a hot guy be single on the show, and it was going to be Matthew.
Fair.
So there you have it.
Fair.
Like, okay. Good to know. Good to know. That's good.
Television.
Fun fact: the guy that played Matthew was on that show with Wilford Brimley. You know what show I'm talking about?
Oh, I think I do, but I can't remember the name of it.
I can't remember the name of it. He was like the grandpa, and they like moved home to live with him. He was on that show. So when Dr. Quinn started up, I'm like, hey, it's that guy from that show that I don't even remember now.
Well, he scared the shit out of me. I think it was him, because he went on TikTok after the creepy All the Kids Who Got Sexually Abused special on HBO, and I'm like, no. And he just like got on TikTok to say, like, my experience on sex was lovely. I'm like, you cannot terrify us like that. Do not tell me that you got sexually abused by Sully. Like, what the fuck, man? It was literally that. I'm like, what are you doing to me?
No, Jen.
It was like really not okay. It was really not. I'm like, I am never watching another one of their TikToks again, just because he like terrified me.
Oh my god.
Did you know there's a Christmas movie with Sully and Dr. Quinn?
Yes.
Except like they're old now, and
I did not see it, but I heard about it.
I heard about it. He's aged like a fine wine.
I mean, men generally do.
They do. It's so annoying. I think Nick's better looking now. I thought he was pretty hot when we got married, but I think he's even... They go through this whole distinguished phase. He's also really ripped right now. So I'm like, you know. It's hard to say. I also love... Okay, but literally, we go through 3 seasons of, like, Dr. Quinn being an absolute frigid... repressed whatever, and then like they have an entire then they have an entire episode dedicated to her being an absolute horn dog and just like jumping Sully every 2 seconds, and I'm like, girl, live your best life, like that's what you should have been doing the whole time. And then she was like at first I was, you know, my mother described it as a wifely duty, and at first I was inclined to agree. But now things have improved significantly. I'm like, what are you talking about?
What do you mean, like, at first?
No.
Have you read any romance novels? At first, it's supposed to be amazing. Come on.
Yeah, I'm like, you got fucking Sully in the train. He knows what he's doing. That was not unpleasant. I refuse to accept that as fact. I was like, at minimum,
the man looks like he stepped off the cover of a romance novel.
He literally knows what he's doing. He's sex in like a suede suit or whatever the fuck he wears, like animal skin, whatever. I'm sorry. I was like, I expect nothing less than 3 orgasms your first time. Like, that is just the bare minimum. I was literally like, no, you know how, like, we just casually toss things out of stories that we don't like? I'm like, that is, we're striking that from the record.
That, like, did
not
happen.
What do you mean I was inclined to agree?
Oh, God.
Like, that's why you get with the guy who has experience. So in your
maybe she only agreed. Okay, here's how I'm going to spin that in my own head. Ready for this? Mental gymnastics 101.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Because I need somebody fucking explain it.
At first, she was inclined to agree before she had the experience. She's like, from what it sounds like, that absolutely sounds like something
that could be
it. Duty.
Yeah.
Like, and now that I know, now that I have done
now
it.
Now that I've had
I
him.
I know the truth.
Okay.
That's how
I'll spin it that way. But I was just like, I don't even know what words just came out of your mouth. But they were lies. And also, if you're Sully, you would have been like, what the fuck are you telling Dorothy that? Like, Like, seriously? So pissed. He's like, nothing short of I am a sex god in the ladies' bidding circle. That is like the bare minimum of your requirements. Except they kept trying to find places to hook up and people kept interrupting them. I'm like, we need a cock blocker, Matthew. So annoying. And then Sully's like, oh, I know when you're ignoring the children, I have your attention. I'm like, stop talking, Sully. Go do things to her.
I am loving this. If we ever get through all of Arrow, then we just need to focus on like 20-year-old shows that I have never seen.
So obsessed with Dr. Like when we got to be friends, I don't know how it came up. I think you were like, oh, I think you were just rewatching some Dr. Quinn and he mentioned it to him. I'm like, oh my God, I love that show. And like, we literally, it was like a 5-hour Dr. Quinn like conversation.
No, but seriously, Maddie, we do need to do that. You're right.
Have you ever seen it, Maddie?
I have not.
Oh my God.
Maddie, the Maddie. Wonders that are opening Listen, up to you right now.
Not only are you going to get all the science, because it
women in STEM
science, you get sexy Sully saving her constantly. Like, constantly. Literally, the show
is it's a romance Sully. Novel.
Sully saving Dr. Quinn until she finally is like, okay, I'll marry you. And then they have sex. That's the show. No other show description other than that. And oh yeah, there's some other characters and they do stuff too. It's the best. Like, neither
it is the best.
Yeah, it is the actual best show ever. And I remember being deeply heartbroken when it went off the air. Didn't they go like through a whole phase where Sully wasn't on the show?
Yes, I didn't watch them because I was in college at that point. I was in college and I didn't have a TV. Like,
I know. I was like, what witchcraft is this?
Yeah. I heard about it and I was like, guess I'm not catching up.
Listen, okay. Just for the
transition to 90s television that I haven't seen that you think I need to watch. And then.
Yeah. No, we're totally doing that because.
Oh, we 110%.
It's 100%. Okay, yeah. We found our new show, guys. It's Dr. Quinn.
What we have to do is go on a week-long girls trip where we do nothing but binge Dr. Quinn. Oh, my gosh.
We do nothing but binge time. Dr. Quinn.
Yes.
Tell me you at least know what Sully looks like.
Don't.
Go I know James
Google before. Dr. Quinn. Don't go joke. Google Joe Landon. Google
right now. Right Google now.
Dr. Quinn.
Well, I can't because I like if I go out of this on my phone, then it'll end our record.
Don't you got a computer? Where's your computer?
I don't do Wi-Fi in my apartment. So that way.
Okay. Well, yeah. When you have some time. Google. Look yourself up some Joe Lando.
No, don't Google Joe Lando.
But no, don't do it. Yeah, gotta Google
that Sully. Name sounds familiar.
No,
but...
don't worry about it. Just Google Dr. Quinn.
And then you
won't
get Joe Lando with the long hair, and you need the long hair to fully appreciate.
Yeah, yeah. You have to. No, you have to do Sully. Like yeah, it Dr. has to Quinn be Sully.
Okay. Yeah. Like you're gonna be like, why did she not like jump him immediately coming off the train? Like that's really the only question.
And the darn
19th.
He throws a Hexen at her the first time they meet.
He did throw an axe at her.
It was so hot. Like you're gonna be like hatchet throwing. Who knew that was a whole sexual identity? But
and now they have places you could go to throw axes, and I think it's because of Dr. Quinn.
It's 100% because of Sully. Like, it's all just women who used to watch Dr. Quinn looking for their Sullies at hatchet throwing bars. That is my headcanon.
Absolutely.
So yeah, they said 100. Okay, so it came out 1993, and it went off the air 1998. So that was a
The first 5 years of my life.
Oh my God, you're such a baby. Yeah, I think thank I was, you. Because I was a sophomore in '98.
I've been dealing with some U's recently, but you're just like, oh my God.
Are you feeling like you're finally like old enough to be like the U's?
Yes.
A fun phase. Yeah.
Once Wait, you get are, yeah, there, it's all 30. Downhill.
You're 30 right now, right, Maddie?
Yeah, I'm 30.
Okay, see, 30 is great because like you seriously don't give a shit anymore, and no. Like. The 20-year-olds bug the crap out of you. You're
they
just
do.
Like, why are you
They're
so
annoying.
They're so annoying in there. I care about what other people think, and I
well,
want to go
here's
outside
the thing.
My house.
My husband and I have had this conversation. Now, as Gen Xers, we've seen this happen multiple times, and so we're familiar with it. Mm-hmm. What happens is when you're in your teens and early 20s, your generation rules the culture. You are the one saying, this is what's popular, this is what's in, this is the big thing. this is what's going viral, whatever. And it ultimately happens that that torch gets passed down to the next generation. And it's always hilarious to me how everybody acts when they're no longer culturally relevant. And you're starting to see like Gen Z slipping out of their cultural relevance by the next generation and just like trying to worm their way in. And it's funny. And it's, and that's why you see these Gen Zers telling millennials, oh, you can't part your hair in the middle. You can't wear skinny jeans. Like, we have to be the ones controlling the culture now. And everybody else is like, why are you so obsessed about this?
Amazing. It's just, no, I'm going to wear skinny jeans. I'm going to text with emojis.
Yep. I've been seeing TikToks lately talking about how everybody's coming after Gen X for using ellipses. And it's like, we're just going to use ellipses and you can deal with it.
Why wouldn't you use ellipses? Yes. I use ellipses all the time. It's like, how else do you show a pause?
Exactly. Like, ellipses is perfect. Apparently is. Gen Z thinks it's very cringy.
Well, they're confused about a lot of things, so.
I will say the, like, mid-sentence ellipse totally makes sense. And then I have seen the thing of more of like a older situation where using it in lieu of a period, that doesn't entirely make sense. But if it's like the end of the thought, then you do.
Or you're trailing off to insinuate something. You're like, oh, I don't know.
I see where you're going.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just say yeah.
Maybe he's a jerk.
Say the use.
Yeah.
You know what I blame? You know why Gen X does this? I know exactly why Gen X fucking does this. And you cannot come to people when we were trained this way by the movies that were the most influential on our childhoods, and that's Star Wars. It's the opening crawl. They all end with an ellipses.
Oh, there you go. Because they're trailing off. It's a trail off. Because
they're trailing off.
Yeah.
And so we all picked that up and we're like, that's amazing.
How else are you supposed to designate that in writing? Because you know what? Come to think of it, every time I used an ellipses on my Just About Right articles, Jed deleted them. And I was like, that's my ellipses.
That's
my pause. That's my whole thing. Like, it adds another layer.
It does. That ellipses is there on purpose.
So what do they want us to use? What is the correct answer?
The correct answer is leave the ellipses alone.
What do they use to show pause and trailing off?
They don't pause.
They don't pause. There's terrible grammar.
Okay. I just helped my daughter. She's like,
all lowercase run-on sentences.
Okay. Lauren was like, Mom, I need help with my social studies paper. She wants me to write a literary analysis paper for like on Vietnam vets. I'm like, oh, in social studies? And she's like, yeah. I was like, okay, show me your paper. And she was just like, I was like, Lauren, this is like four paragraphs. She's like, yeah, that's what it needs to be. I was like, okay. And the paragraph, one of the paragraphs is like literally 100 sentences long. And I was like, you should break these up. She's like, she will mark me down if I break them up. And I was like reading it. And I was like, this is not a lit analysis paper. You can't even do a lit analysis on a freaking article about Vietnam vets. I was like, you need to like have like a book with symbolism and like write about what a tree means. Like, that's lit analysis. And she's like, yeah, I don't think she knows what lit analysis means. I was like, probably not, because she's a social studies teacher. It's absolutely horrific. I'm going to send my child to school and I don't think she knows like grammatically or how to write a paper.
Yeah.
Like, it's terrifying me. So, but like, I've helped her and I've fixed things for her and then they mark her down. She's like, nope, they only wanted four paragraphs. I was like, well, sorry, I was trying to put a break in between thoughts. So I left it alone. I was like, fine, do what you want to do, whatever.
Also, isn't the standard a five paragraph essay? Like, when did that?
I don't know. I don't know when that happened.
Because you got your intro, your 3 points, and your conclusion.
Yeah. Listen, they've messed it all up from the 90s and the 80s. Now nothing makes sense, and I don't know what these children are learning. Lauren just basically...
Although, I watched the thing that there's, like, a new kids, like, math video of how to know like, because 9's one of the harder, like, multiplication tables.
It is one of the harder ones. I agree with that statement.
But, like, there's a trick, which I have literally never heard in my life, which was kind of mind-blowing, is if you put your, like, your 10 fingers up and it's, like, 4 times 9, you do, like, count from the left, your, like, 4th finger in, put that down, and then it's, like, 3, and then 6 is on the other side of that finger down, so it's 36. Like, 3 fingers on one side of it, 6 fingers on the other. I was like, how does that make so much sense?
Where was this when I was doing multiplication tables in 3rd grade?
Exactly. All right.
Okay.
Because I remember the trauma of, like, timed multiplication, like, quizzes.
I am really glad they got rid of, like, time tests, because that literally is the source of all anxiety for me, was freaking math tests that were timed.
Yeah. Because he would.
Like, what did it matter if we could do it fast? Is anyone timing me in Cub right now as I sort out, you know, how much bread's going to be?
Also, no. 3 minutes goes by so fast.
It does. Well, also, you're paralyzed by the fear.
Exactly.
It's like, it's literally, I was just paralyzed by the fear. My brain just shut down.
Had us memorize pi to 50 places. And you're just like, that's so dumb too.
Like, I swear, like, I would always get sat next to the kid that did time tests really well, which also stressed me out. I would just, like, freeze. Yeah, not fun.
But the one thing that gave me hope for the future is there was a thread recently where people just kind of all swooped in on this teacher. Is she saying, well, I'm going to do as far as the age-old trick for class management of there's a disruptive boy, and so I'm going to put the quiet, well-behaved girl to sit next to her to hopefully mitigate the situation. And everyone swooped in like, it is not the quiet girl's job to manage this boy's behavior.
That was me in school. They always stuck me next to this rowdy dickhead boy.
Like, football boy idiot. And I like that we were all just like, enough!
Yep. I remember being very unhappy. I think it was like 3rd grade. I got sat next to some dill hole, and I remember I complained about it. My mom went to conferences and she's like, you know, Mrs. Nelson knows that you're not very happy that you got moved, but she moved you next to whatever his name is. So, you know, you could be a good influence on him. And I just remember being like, why is that my problem? Like, I had enough shit to keep track of. I don't need to deal with him.
This is what I get for being a good kid.
Like, yeah, I was like, so I get punished? Okay. Whatever. School in the 80s sucked.
You know, I just glanced at my Tumblr blog.
Yeah.
And it's concerningly centered around Baldur's Gate.
I know. Like, you haven't, like, I get like 80% of my blog from your blog, and you have not, like published a gift set on Alicity in like a solid like 100 months.
I'm sorry.
It's like, what are you doing with your life? So
I'm playing now Baldur's my blog Gate. Is really? Like,
I'm like, now my blog is like 100% dependent on Kim, because Kim like makes all the gift sets.
Kim is who your blog should be.
I know. I know. Like it was like 60% like. I would just reblog what you blog, and then like 60% Kim's gifts. That's where I get my stuff. So
no, I did I had a silver lining this week where I was like, as irritating as the whole Netflix split a season between like 2 chunks, that way you have to subscribe for at least 2 months to be able to watch it. That I was like, you know, the one silver lining is it makes it easier for the gift makers, because then they have
time,
like, 4 weeks in between like A and B to like make all the pretty gifts.
Also, it gives us mentally unbalanced people who would literally binge the full season in a night.
I know, we need to have a leash put on us, honestly.
We do, because like, otherwise left to our own devices, we are not healthy.
So this works out. 4 episodes. This with it being split in 4 and 4, that has to be benched in one setting. Like, there's no other way. Like, because 4 hours can go about like that.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to it. But I was like, okay, I feel better now that I know it makes Kim's life easier to give us the pretty gifts.
We're here to support Kim. Okay, so next week, maybe Maddie will have published some of her podcast episodes, and then we're gonna talk about T Swizzle and her new
T Swizzle. Yeah, that's what I'm doing starting tonight at 9 p.m. my time.
Okay,
listening to T Swizzle.
Yep, it's T Swizzle night. I'm excited.
I'm scared.
The only thing, but I will make sure first that as soon as possible, I get the episodes we're behind on posted.
Yeah,
because I've been
I'm just putting a little pressure.
Yeah,
just putting a little pressure. That's all. Because if we didn't want to like not publish our episodes, Cal and I could just. That's what we did before.
Yeah, right.
Maddie's in charge. She needs to do the in charge stuff.
Yeah,
because so,
it descends into chaos.
Yes, exactly. All right, ladies, I'll talk later.
All right, bye,
bye, ladies.